Very good afternoon. Very, very good afternoon to our listeners. This is Lucas Kaluapa Katenda. I am back on Eagle FM with our weekly program on my role as a voter. And this time around, we call it My Vote, My Choice. My Vote, My Choice. So this program, this time around, this edition, the sixth edition of this program, is sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation, or Konrad Adenauer Stiftung. It's a civic education program aimed at conversation among the citizens of Namibia, to talk about issues of elections and votes and leadership. And Eagle FM is gracious enough to give us about 2 hours during this edition. And I would like really to invite all our listeners to come closer to your radio and enjoy the program. And you will also be given an opportunity to have a conversation. To have a conversation, whether you have a question, or you have a disagreement, or you have an addition. Because issues that we are going to discuss will be related to the governance, to the management, to the administration and leadership of our country. Because voter education and actually vote has to do with the determination of who should govern and who should lead our society. My name is Lucas Kaluapa Katenda. As I have mentioned, I will be your presenter for this program for the coming 15 weeks or 17 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, because we will run through February, March, April, and we shall end this edition in May. So Konrad Adenauer Foundation, as we know it, is a civic organization from the Federal Republic of Germany. It's operating in Namibia according to the bilateral agreements between our two countries. The main aim of the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung is to consolidate the democratic constitutions and the political and socioeconomic participation of citizens, especially women in Namibia, through socio-political and educational programs. A focal point of the work of Konrad Adenauer Stiftung is the analysis of regional integration in Southern Africa. While we have the main partners of the Konrad Adenauer Foundation is the people, the citizens in any given country in which they operate. And for this reason, Namibia is a constitutional people's democracy. Our constitution then, I will quote here under, Namibia is a people's democracy. It is a constitutional democracy. And in general terms, the Namibian people should be and are the final authorities in matters of governance, in matters of management, in matters of administration and leadership of our society. It is stated that It's stated in the Namibian Constitution, which is in the first chapter, Article 1, and sub-Article 2. It is stated that all power shall vest in the people of Namibia, who shall exercise their sovereignty through democratic institutions of the state. So given the provision so made in the Constitution, as I will introduce the program again, as well as the United Nations Declaration for Human Rights, it means that whatever goes in the administration of the state and government of the society and management of the society, ordinary citizens cannot be exonerated from the best or the worst of such governance, given their huge obligation and responsibility to determine who shall be tasked with leadership, administration, and management of the country and societal affairs. The performance or non-performance of elected leaders is to be subjected to the public scrutiny and opinion in order that the public can then decide whether to punish the non-performing actors when it comes to elections by voting against them, or simply to award the performing actor for maybe another term by voting in favor. For this reason, it is significant for citizenship to be thoroughly equipped, not only with ballot papers, but also with information and analytical mind, so that they apply their minds so carefully, seriously, when it comes not only to the determination on who shall govern them, but also to the process of governance between elections. So this program, therefore, seeks to sensitize the public of their responsibility to hold elected officials accountable for their actions, if it is true that all powers shall vest with the people of the Republic of Namibia. If that is true, if this is the case, then the people should always be sensitized about the powers that they possess as far as governance of this country is concerned, through free and fair process of election. Voting and elections are part of the protection of democracy. We must not forget that the engine of any democratic society lies in choosing leaders. And choosing leaders is through election. And any country can only be regarded as democratic when people have the rights and obligation to choose its leaders. If the country is able to conduct free, fair, transparent and credible elections, leaving little behind, and it is our responsibility as citizens. Furthermore, this process will help the elected officials to understand that once elected, they have to serve only the interest of the Namibians, who are the voters. So we will run this program between the three of us: Conrad Adenauer Foundation, Eagle FM, and myself, to dissect and to talk about these matters, especially as we look forward to the regional and local authorities elections. So this program will run up to May. And we shall be looking at the critical analysis and understanding of the gap between the elections and the election and the inauguration or installation of the new administration or government, to understand the choice and composition of the cabinet and the National Assembly, and the lessons from history, especially from 1989 elections hitherto. Specific episodes will also be dedicated to the role of the youth in Parliament. We will be speaking about understanding the role of regional and local authority councils and the relationship between executive, National Assembly, and the regional council or and regional and local authorities. How are the regional and the local authorities elected? We will be talking about these matters as we take the program forward. We will be here every Thursday between 2:30 and 4:30 in the afternoon. And please, citizens, you are free. We will be giving you the platform also to speak and to call us as well. Now, I would like us now to start our program with what we call an introduction to the basis of what we or why we are going to discuss what we are discussing. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because in Namibia, as elsewhere in the world, we have people who would like to discuss about matters, but unfortunately, many people discuss these matters without any knowledge. Okay? Without any knowledge, or they do so by simply offering their opinions. And I must indicate that in the Namibian context, we are not going to just discuss matters pertaining to opinions concerning elections and governance, but we would like to discuss things especially from the legal framework. What does the law says? We have to understand what does the law says. Why are we doing what we are doing? I mentioned that Namibia is a constitutional democracy. So let us first understand the principles behind the constitution. Let us understand what constitution means, and as soon as we know what constitution means, then we should be able to see if we can run our country as per the constitution.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved IMBA that brings together various hymn books under one app, here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on IMBA app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of IMBA hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover IMBA today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Estabeleça seus preconceitos de tecnologia. Explore os aplicativos que estão redefinindo o futuro, saindo do antigo e entrando no novo. Desde carregar itinerários físicos em papel até o mundo de versões digitais de itinerário. Veja as novas expressões usadas do IMBA App. Sinta-se parte de algo maior. Experimente o itinerário digital na palma das suas mãos. Eis o novo melhorado IMBA que reúne vários itinerários em um só aplicativo. Aqui para unir uma nação e espalhar o Evangelho. Alguns dos itinerários apresentados no app do IMBA são o Elsin e Angano, o Oshierero Mai Muriro, a Católica Simane Kakarunga, African Sang Fordiera e muito mais. Entre em contato conosco hoje se desejar que o itinerário da sua igreja seja adicionado à lista de itinerários do IMBA app. Contacta-nos em 081-235-8063 ou envia um e-mail para digital@obalaiti.com. Descubra e baixa IMBA hoje. Podes encontrar o IMBA na App Store e também na Google Play.
Tulisa mordimbo goge pampepo. Zegura sumbangu dias ep. Eziza singo na malisinta kano gupanare taninaga gumape. Moktunda konkedi zoksimba no buke do marsumo komaoko uza konkedi zompe zoktura marsumo musmbangu dias ep pampepo. Guanasmbangu sospe sa imba ep zuva inyami mokaram tetin sume kusmbangu esi guana karuhampepo kumarsumo pa internet meke lyoge ruganesa cellphone ndinkenyi. Kara ono pukuru kasi sumbangu sospe aso waswa pukura sa imba ep. Aso kuretu sapo martimbo konosumo dokuli siga siga dongereka pamwetu. Moktura kumwe srongo no kwane sambudi zongwa dias gospel. Martimbo gamwe novura kura kena musumbangu si kuna karanye the Elsin e Angano, the Osherero Omaimbiriro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Africans Sing Froda Here, and many more. Zene munahara kutulisa marsumo geni musumbangu sa imba epu. Mampepo, tukwane ninye ko 081-23-58-063. Ndi ko email digital@omalaiti.com.
Mukungu lele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apidi kwa mavuchaziva. Mwere kisema ep atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilingwi kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaimuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengwizengata. Mololi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
That must then be given independence to function and to interpret the law. Then you know what is the territory of Namibia. The national territory of Namibia. When we say of, that something belongs to. Oh, it's almost the same as for. What is whose territory? Namibia's territory. It consists of the whole territory recognized by the international community through organs of the nations as Namibia, including the enclave, the harbor, the port of Walvis Bay, as well as the offshore islands of Namibia, and its southern boundaries shall extend in the middle of the Orange River. Windhoek shall be the seat of the central government. In other words, Namibia is the enclave, is the harbor, is the port of Walvis Bay, is the offshore islands, and in the southern country, the boundary is drawn straight in the middle of the Orange River. So, any other territory that is not Namibia, and for who? Belonging to who? I used to hear some mistakes in Namibia. The land belongs to so and so. My friends, unless you own the land through private ownership, because our economy constitutionally is mixed. It's both private and it is public. Okay? And even the land in Namibia is either commercial or communal. Those of us who are on this side of the red line, whatever you call it, the cordon fence, that also the case is going on. All of us who are in Caprivi, the Zambezi region now, the Kavango regions, the Ovambo, formerly Ovamboland regions, those who are found in Ohangwena, Oshkoto, Oshana, Mshati, the Kaokoland, we are all in what we call in the red line. And all the land in those parts of the country are communal lands. And in other parts as well, maybe in the formerly Herero land or Damara land and Namaland, all these lands were regarded as communal land. They are owned communally. In other words, they are the land that belong to nothing else but to the state. So if then this is the case, no territory in Namibia whatsoever that is not part of the Namibian people. Nobody must tell us I own the land here or what. The territory of Namibia belongs to the Namibian people. Now, this constitution shall be the supreme law of the Namibia. Again, the constitutional principle of 1982 indicates that the constitutional the constitution of the Republic of Namibia shall be the supreme law of the Namibian government. Okay, anybody else who would like to say anything else, please understand that the Namibian law, supreme law, all other laws are subordinate to the constitution. That is why if you are hearing from the red line case, is saying, those people who have instituted the case are saying, this thing has removed the constitutional rights of the people. So it must be declared unconstitutional. This is what they are saying. Why? It's because they separate some people on this side, some people on the other side. You can't take your meat to eat it in the north, I mean in Windhoek, because you are taking the disease there. Is that true? That I'm taking the disease there if myself I'm there and I have a disease? No, something must not be clear here. So, again, it's for the judges, it's for the legal people, it's for the legal minds to complain and to argue and to give us the answer. Now, what the Namibian Constitution, the Namibian Constitution was then implemented in which way? And I would like just to talk about it after a few seconds.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody?
Now, the Namibian Constitution was implemented according to Article 130, that the Constitution is adopted by the Constituent Assembly shall come into force on the date of independence. And what is the date of independence? The date of independence was declared by the Constituent Assembly to be the 21st of March 1990, midnight, of which then the president takes the oath, immediately takes the oath, is subjected to the, to only do nothing but everything that was contained in the Constitution of the Republic of Namibia. Now, I would like us to talk just a little bit about constitutional principles so that we know the basis on why we are saying what we are saying. Okay, what are the essential elements in the constitutional democracy? Okay? In a constitutional democracy, the authority of the majority is limited by legal and institutional means so that the rights and individuals and minorities are respected. So in the constitution, in the constitutional democracy, majority rules. How do the majority rule? How do we determine the majority? We determine the majority by voting. Okay? Anybody who is not voted is illegal. Anybody who wants to rule, who wants to rule us, but is not elected by the people, is illegal. Unless there is a provision that gives to the legality of an elected leadership. Like now, in the case of traditional authorities, in many of African countries, traditional authorities are dynastic. They are governing from, they created a myth, if you like, that only certain group of people, only certain family clan that governs. Okay? Wherever it started, it was made and the people take it as a culture. And for some people, apparently it doesn't change. Okay, so what the government has done is to give legality to these things in the name of culture, in the name of tradition, in the name of customary practices. That no, they are not elected as per constitutional democracy, but still, they are part of our culture, and therefore we recognize them. But you can clearly see that they can only go as far as limited, as far as a particular space, and they can only go as far as a particular scope. They can't go beyond this thing, but they can also just do this thing. Just an example. But here we are talking about sovereignty of the people. Corporately, they must rule. In this case, we had the elections. Whoever got the majority, who got many people on his side, on her side, this person becomes the governor. This person becomes the ruling party or the ruling group. But within that ruling, you don't have 100%. You were not given 100% rule, mandate to rule. There are some people who dissented. Like now in our case, the dissension is that there are people who voted for other parties. There is a group that voted for this party that becomes the ruling party or the continuing the ruling party. Then there are people who dissented and they voted for some other parties. Some voted for this, some voted for that, some voted for that. And you have also people who didn't vote, which is also a substantial number. So make sure that when you are now governing and when you are ruling now, take note of the dissenting voice, take note of people who didn't vote at all. And in some cases, people who didn't vote plus those who voted for something else are the majority. And you, despite you have the majority of those who have voted, you have not the majority of all the voters in the country. You don't have the majority of all the voters in the country. So, especially this is the case now in Namibia. If you look at the outcome of the past election, assuming now, let us now assume there is no case. I'm not saying there is no case. I'm just assuming there is no case. Swapo won the Swapo won the elections with 50-something%. Did they win? Was this 50% of all the voters in Namibia who were registered? No. No. It was for those who have voted. How many people who have voted? It's about 1.1 million people voted, about. And then 50% of 1.1 million people voted for the Swapo, 50% plus. What happened to other voters? They voted for other parties. And about other voters, they didn't vote. So you take now about 500,000 voters plus the 300,000 voters who didn't vote, maybe some were dead, or but they cannot be millions of death. In comparison to those who have voted for the ruling party, who is the majority here? Are those who didn't vote for the ruling party. Thank goodness those who didn't vote, we don't count them because they didn't vote. We told them, please vote. Nevertheless, we are conscious there are people who didn't vote. We are conscious about them, but we can't count them because they didn't vote for whatever reason. Is it their own choice not to vote, or they were told not to vote, or things were hard for them to vote? So I'm now saying the majority is the person who has received the highest number. You are the ruling. Please take note. You have people who didn't vote for you. They are Namibians. And you have people who didn't vote at all. They are still Namibians. You have the responsibility towards them. So that's why we say in a constitutional democracy, it's a balance and check. Majority, the ruling, the majority is limited. You are limited by what? Legal and institutional means, so that you respect the right of individuals and the rights of minorities. This is the form of democracy that is practiced in many, many countries. And this is what Namibia is trying really to do. Apparently, it is practiced in countries in the whole world. Many countries, they do such. So, constitutional democracy is antithesis, is the antithesis of arbitrary rule. It is democracy. Yeah. In other words, in a constitutional democracy, a person may not stand and say, I am going to rule you. I'm going to vote. I'm going to be your, your president. I'm going to be your councillor. I'm going to be your regional governor. I'm going to be the chairman of the regional council. I'm going to be your leader. You don't arbitrarily stand up and say that. In constitutional democracy, please, you go to people and ask them, can I rule you? And people will say yes or no. How do they say yes or no? They go out and vote and elect. They make a cross there. If they vote for somebody else, because you are not only the one who is asking for the permission, if they vote for somebody else other than you, don't complain, because it means by voting for a different person, they are not interested in you. This is what it means. Okay? Then you have what we call popular sovereignty. People are ultimate source of authority of the government, which derives its right to govern from their consent. In other words, you go out and people must give you consent to rule them. This consent is given at elections. Majority rule, minority rights. We cannot overemphasize that. Although majority rules, the fundamental rights of individuals in the minority are protected. You can't just say, hey, we are the majority here. Because you are the majority, we are not listening to you. You didn't vote for us. And blah, 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 blah. You don't do that in a constitutional democracy. The limited form of government. The powers of the government are limited by law and a written or unwritten constitution which those in power obey. And institutional and procedural limitation of powers. There are certain institutional and procedural devices which limit the power of the government. Please underline, we mentioned already in the constitutional principles that were kind of the foundational ideas, foundational concept of drafting the Namibian constitution. It says there must be limitation of the institution. The government is limited. You can't have overarching powers. You can't have unlimited powers over the people. Not at all. You should be limited by law, and that's the constitution is written to limit. Kutulanga moshitomo mokanya. You follow the constitution. Okay? Then you have what we call separated and shared power. We mentioned about that. In the constitutional principles, they talk about the legislative, executive, and judiciary. Powers are separated among different agencies and branches of the state. Each agency or branch has a primary responsibility for certain functions, such as now the legislative, executive, and judiciary. However, each branch also shares this function with the other branches. There is a call to cry of separation of powers, separation of powers. Separation of power, we must not make it a myth. There is no so much separation. There is interaction among the branches. The executive committee of the country, which is now the cabinet, must be able to brief the legislative. Because the legislative passes the law, the executive implements the law. Okay? If people are not happy by the implementation, then the judiciary must be able to say, no, my dear friends, you can't do these things. There is always interaction among the three branches, especially of the state. But they must not work in cohort to make life difficult for the people. In fact, they are to work with each other to make life easier for the people. Okay? Checks and balances. Different agencies and branches of government have adequate power to check the powers of other branches. Checks and balances may include the power of the judicial review, the power of courts to declare actions of other branches of government to be contrary to the constitution and therefore null and void. Okay? Different agencies or different branches of the government must have adequate power to check the powers of other branches. Like now we are saying, let the Supreme Court check the powers of the administration, of the executive. Did the executive administer elections in Namibia? Yes. How did it do so? By appointing a separate body which was appointed according to the act or the law passed by the legislature. So you are not going to check what the legislative have done in the law. The legislature said election must be done 1, 2, 3 at 9 o'clock. The polling station must be closed. But if there are people, don't close until everybody who is in the polling station is voted. But if there was no, if there were some people outside, it's very clear. When people were unable to finish by 9 o'clock, what must happen? All those questions, you see? What does the law say? Did we follow the law? Did we follow the constitution? This is what the judiciary is going to ask. Or the red line case, the veterinary cordon fence. Is it unconstitutional to have the veterinary cordon fence? Is it unconstitutional? Yes or no. How? It is yes because ABC, it is no because ABC. The judiciary must now help the executive to say, yes, the executive, this thing you are implementing is not constitutional, okay? It's not constitutional because it is violating the rights of people from carrying their meat to eat when they are in the southern part of the veterinary cordon fence. Or, no. There is nothing at all that's unconstitutional there. Everything is just fine because we are preventing diseases from going to the south or from going to Europe, whatever the case may be. So for as long as there is a law that is backing up the judiciary to complain about, I mean, to adjudicate on the complaints of the people. The due process of law, individual rights to life, liberty, property are protected by the guarantee of due process of the law. There must be a due process in the law. Okay, leadership and succession through elections. Please underline, there we come now. Elections ensure that key positions in the government will be contested at a periodic intervals, and that the transfer of governmental authority is accomplished in a peaceful and orderly process. Leadership succession in constitutional democracy is done through elections. And this election must be done periodically. That is why every 5 years we do elections. Every 5 years we do elections. Every 5 years we do elections. That's what the interval means. We did elections last year, presidential National Assembly elections. Okay? We are going to do elections again, regional and local authorities, this year. It is periodic. If you want to be a councillor, go through your process of political parties or go through the constitution and the law and register yourself as independent candidate supported by certain people within your constituency and participate as an independent candidate. So, what are the fundamental values of constitutional democracy? We must understand not just leadership succession through elections. The fundamental value for constitutional democracy reflect a paramount concern with human dignity and worth and value of each individual. A basic right, that's number one, protecting certain basic or fundamental rights, the primary goal of the government. Even if you have elections, you have what, please don't forget that the primary goal of any government, democratic, constitutional democratic government, is to protect, not to give or to allow or what. No, is to protect the basic fundamental rights. These rights may be limited to life, liberty, property, or they may be extended to include such as economic, social rights, employment, health care, education, and documents such as UDHR, or UNCRC and the African Charter on the Human and the People's Rights enumerate and explain these rights. There are many, many things that must be regarded as rights. Freedom of conscience and expression. A constitutional democracy includes among its highest purposes the protection of freedom of conscience, freedom of expression. Freedom these freedoms have value both for the healthy and functioning preservation of constitutional democracy and for full development of human personality. There must be privacy and civil society or non-governmental organization. Constitutional democracy recognizes and protect the integrity of private and social realm comprised of families, personal, religious, other association and activities. This space is uncoerced. Human association is the base of civil society, free from unfair and unreasonable intrusion by the government. So there must be a civil society for whatever reason. The government must be, must allow people to organize themselves into their families, into their clans, into their personal choices, into religious choices, and into other associations. But the government must not intrude, and the government must not prevent people from belonging to any of the association. And then we talk about justice, which is distributive, fair distribution of benefits and burdens of the society. Corrective justice is a fair and proper response to wrong and injuries. And procedural justice is a fair procedure in gathering of information and making decisions by all agencies and government, and most particularly by law enforcing agencies and courts. And equality, there must be, we believe, not just privacy and civil society or justice, but there must also be equality, political equality. All citizens are equally entitled to participate in political system. Equality before the law. The law does not discriminate on the basis of unreasonable or unfair criteria such as gender, age, race, ethnic, religious, or affiliation, anything that comes to the state. The state must not say, yeah, because you are a woman, you can't be the president. Because you are this, you can't be... We don't say that. I have heard some people complaining, it's so shallow, that we cannot allow women to govern our country and so on. The Constitution does not give us that kind of argument. That's your own personal argument, which is not acceptable in law because it's not part of our Constitution. So the law applies to the government as well, to the governors as well, those who are governed. Economic equality must also be there. There must also be openness in any governing. Then when we talk of unitary system is a central government, it's a full power which it may delegate to subordinate government. When we say Namibia is a unitary state, all the powers are in the central government, but the central government can give some of the powers to make things easier to the regional and even to the local authorities. Yeah. So you can talk of many other things, like now you have the unitary system, federal system, confederate system. You have the federal system, confederation system. You have the checks and balances in terms of what must be done when we talk of unitary central government doing all things. How do we know the government is not abusing the power that it allocates to itself? So, that being said, I would like us to allow the callers before I give an introduction to citizenship in a constitutional democracy. What is the civic responsibility? Having spoken so much about these matters. So I would like now to open the line. Let me just give you the number, and you may call, and then from there, I'm happy to answer you. I'm happy to answer you, or I am happy to give you the to give you the platform to address us or to disagree or to have issues that you want to be raised. So the number in studio is 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091 is our number in studio. And please, if you want to make a call, please do so now. We have some minutes for people to interact with us. 08-333-66091 is our number in studio here in Ondangba. We are calling, I'm speaking to you from Ondangba. I am not in Windhoek. I will be in Windhoek next week. But please give me your call if you want. Otherwise, I am continuing with my presentation as we speak about the characteristics of citizens to enable democracy to flourish. What should citizens must be doing? A citizenship in a constitutional democracy. There is a difference between being a citizen in constitutional democracy and being a subject in authoritarian or totalitarian regime. Please underline here. In constitutional democracy, we are citizens. And the citizens have equal rights. In authoritarian, in feudalism, in totalitarian regimes, people are mere subjects. People are mere subjects. They don't have rights. They don't have property. They don't have what. They don't think. Somebody else must think for them, must act for them, must give them handouts. In the citizenship, in the constitutional democracy, citizenship is more important than being subjects, being just people under the leadership of someone. Okay? So, in democracy, each citizen is a full and equal member of the self-governing community, endowed with certain rights, fundamental rights, as well as certain responsibility. A subject, in contrast, is to a citizen is obliged to obey the commands of others. The relationship of the subject to the state is not independent, is not dependent upon consent. That's why I'm saying the reason why you are here, and I say unitary, democratic, secular, those words are blocks. They are blocking some things. They are blocking an idea that the king says this, or the queen says this, or the chief says this, or the headman says this. We are not subjects of those people. We are citizens in Namibia. We are not subjects. We are citizens. And there are some people now who don't understand this. And in fact, our society is going back to the many people want to become subjects again. After they have given us democracy, they are now back to the feudal kind of system, which many people are not will not enjoy. If we are to go back to those type of things, many people will not enjoy those things. So, in constitutional democracy, people give consent for somebody to govern them. They give consent through elections. Knowledge and skills, okay? We mentioned that in citizenship, in constitutional democracy, citizens must have knowledge and must be skilled. Constitutional democracy requires informed and effective participation by the citizen. Informed. I remember going to church in December, somewhere in one of the regions in Namibia, and I went there and I asked. I was preaching about the responsibility of leaders. At home, leadership at church, leadership in government, and all the people we are choosing, and so on and so on, we say to them, please, these leaders must do fair and what and whatnot and whatnot. And they ask, those people who have voted, those number of people who have voted, please make sure that they keep them accountable. And people seem not to know what I was talking about. I said, do you know that we have voted quite a number of people to lead you? And they said, no, we did not vote for a number of people. We voted only for one person. to lead us. They didn't understand that they voted for 96 members of parliament. They didn't know that. They think they voted only for the president. All other things, they don't know. And when you have citizens who know nothing about what's going on, then you must be worried in the society. Okay? Citizens, of course, must be informed. And this is what we are doing now. For effective participation by citizens who understand and have a reasoned commitment to its fundamental principles and values, as well as familiarity with its political processes. So citizens must be able to read, must be able to understand what is really going on, what is happening in this society. Who are these people? Okay? I challenged the political parties before elections last year that in order for you to govern well, please publicize the names of the people who will be your members of the National Assembly. Write their names somewhere. Tell us what their capabilities are. Tell us their education. What is their history? What is it that they will be able to do? What is it that they want to do different? Otherwise, if you just give us the names, Lucas Kantenda, Mateus this, Josephine so-and-so, Selma so-and-so, these people, we don't know them. We need to know them. Who are they? Where are they come from? Where were they born? What is it that they are able to do in the society? And so forth and so on. So this is the situation and this is the problem that our people have when they don't know the knowledge. Up to now, I know some people who will be in parliament personally. There are those I don't know. I didn't even read their history because their history is nowhere to be found. It's nowhere to be found. It's not on the websites of their political parties. It's not on the social platforms, their political parties. There are no publication of these people. We don't know where they come from. We don't know they were thieves before. We don't know they were in... they are divorced. We don't know they are just people there. We don't know what the capacity. Because at the end of the day, we don't just stand up for the sake of standing up. We also need people who must be able to deliver and deliver and deliver. Now, civic knowledge. Citizens, of course, cannot know everything to or everything they would or should in any ideal democracy, but they should have some understanding of the following. Number one, they must have a history. Citizens should be familiar with the political, economic, social history of their own country, how modern world come to be, including how constitutional democracy developed, and the major events, issues, and ideas of others in the contemporary world. How many of our people know the history of Namibia, history of democracies? How do we came? How did it work that we came to be the Namibia that we know? Because long time ago we were never in Namibia. We were Ovambo people. We were Kavango people. We were Kaprivi people. We were Herero people. We were Damara people. We were Nama people. We were Tswana people. We were colored. We were white people in our own countries. In our own something, whether you call it a country or a kingdom or something. We were in those little things. But all of a sudden, boom, we are one Namibia, one nation. What is this one Namibia, one nation? Do I live in Ukwanyama or do I live in Namibia? There are people who think I live in Ukwanyama. But Republican-wise, I don't live there. I live in Namibia. You live in our village. Where is the village in the constitution? We don't have it. We live in Namibia. Those are provisions made for easier administration of things. They are not meant to control people. They are not meant also to make people more regional based than anything else. You can argue with me, but this is what we say. How did we come here? Why did it happen like this? We must be able to study and know these things. We must know the geography. We mentioned about the territory of Namibia must include the Orange River and so on. How many people know where the Orange River is even? And when we talk of the middle, what are we talking about? We talk of the middle of the Orange River, and so on and so on. So we must know the geography, should be familiar with geography of their own country, the world, in order to be able to incorporate geographical factors in their thinking about political, social, and economic events. And then we have basic political ideas. Citizens should be familiar with such fundamental concepts such as popular sovereignty, constitutionalism, individual rights, and common good. Some of the commentators are making mistakes, especially on social media. Be careful of people. They are imperialists. They want to take over our country. Who are the people who want to take over our country? Who? For what reason? Taking our country from here for what? Who is even going to dare? All that we have to do is to know the political ideology, understand things like constitution, understand things like popular sovereignty, understand things like individual rights and common good. Individual rights including the right to form, to join the political association of your choice, and even to be voted for in terms of the elections. And basic, you must also understand the political system. For instance, citizens should be familiar with both formal political institutions and with civil society. They should understand the influence upon of one upon the other. They also should be familiar with the purposes of government and with the principal individual and organizational actors in the political life of their country. We must know who is who in our country. And then we must know the legal system of our country. Citizens should be familiar with the operation of the legal system and the rights and obligations of citizens under it. Basic economic ideas we should have, basic concepts including principles of economy, policies of their own country, and its economic relations with the rest of the world. How a nation interacts. Citizens need to know how the world is organized politically, as well as the role of international, governmental, and non-governmental organizations. And then sources of information, citizens should also understand the significance and the mass media, free society, the ways in which the mass media influence the public. So they should know what we call civic knowledge. They must have a basic knowledge. And they must not just have a basic knowledge, they must also have what we call civic skills. You, the people, citizens of Namibia, myself included, we must have civic knowledge and civic skills. It doesn't make any sense for us to tell you, vote for change, vote for these things, but we don't understand these things. So, we will talk more about these ideas of constitutional democracy more and more, and then we will be going through the ideas of elections and the issues we are facing, including now the case pending and the time that we spend between elections and the inauguration of a new government. We have enough time to talk more about these matters. Now, with that being said, I have to say it is a goodbye. I received no call. If you want to call me on personal phone, you can call me 081-281-8159. 081-281-8159. That is my mobile number. If you want to call me or if you want to ask a question, or you can send me something. Send the message if you want me to answer. Don't just call me. If you call me, you can have conversation with me, but I will not remember things that we discussed. There are many people who are calling, but if you have a specific question that you want to be answered, to be dealt with in the program, you send me a message on WhatsApp or SMS 081-281-8159. 081-281-8159. If you do so, I will be able to attend to your call. But if you call me, I may pick up the phone, speak to me, but don't think that when you speak to me, I will remember the conversation in the next program, because maybe I will be in town. I'm not on my desk. I'm not writing these things down. So the best thing, any question, put it on the message, send it to me. So, it is a goodbye until next time. I am Lucas Kalwapa Katenda. The program sponsored by Conrad Adenauer Foundation, brought to you by Eagle FM, and I am your presenter. Bye-bye.